we're talking about today, and that is that our former producer, Rich Jesse, is our call screener today. That's what we're talking about. What are you talking about? Hi, I'm Debbie Giorgiani with Jerry Escher, and the whole show team is in place. We do have Rich Jesse as the call screener today. Ryan stepped away for today, and Jeff Burson is in social media, and Michael Birchfield is controlling everything. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
We have to pay all attention to the man behind the curtain. He keeps us coloring between the lines.
Yeah. No, we pray to the powerhouse, didn't we? Yeah, we prayed to the powerhouse. See, our show team always says we got to pray to the powerhouse six. Can you announce who are? I'll announce it. St. Michael the Archangel, St. Teresa of Calcutta, Mother Angelica, Our Lady of Fatima, St. Padre Pio, St. Joseph. Pray for us and all our listeners. Amen.
Yeah, that is a prayer that we pray before every program, and specifically for you, the listeners. And it's fitting every day, but I think it's especially fitting today because we're going to be talking about the saints and sainthood and becoming a saint and the path to sainthood and the struggle to become a saint. That's our topic for today.
Mm-hmm. The reason why we chose this topic today is because, as you know, November 1st is All Saints Day. It is a wonderful, wonderful feast day. We're not going to be doing a show, obviously, so we decided to do it today because tomorrow is our monthly unscripted show. And you guys really planned for that every single month, so we didn't want to move that. So we're talking about the saints today, but we thought we'd do it from a different angle. We're talking about the struggle to become a saint. You know, we try very hard. They're our heroes, right? We try to imitate the saints. But let's face it, so many times we think, well, they're holy. You know, they were just always holy. They came out of the womb holy. That's not true. They didn't. They struggled with a lot of things that we struggle with. And some struggle with things that are really over the top. Okay. But they overcame those sins and they became a canonized saint in the Catholic Church. Pretty awesome. And that's what we're all called to do and to be. Mother Angelica talks about it. She used to talk about it so clearly and still does on the reruns that we see on television and radio about this is a training ground, you know, to become a saint. So let's talk about the struggle to become a saint and what that means and what we need to overcome maybe, you know, to get on a strong road to holiness, maybe what the saints had to deal with, who's the saint we can call on to help us. Okay. You see how this works? Here's the number 833-288-3986.
Yeah, and it's really beautiful. The saints, if they're canonized, if they're in heaven, then our prayers to them don't necessarily help them, although I've heard before that they actually can increase in their glory because they're finite, so there's always room for increase in glory. But it's not so much for their sake, it's for our sake. We pray to certain saints, like Debbie said, who have overcome some amazing things, addictions, drug addictions, alcoholism, sexual perversity, some very bad stuff, anger issues, temper issues, things like this. So there's
a saint.
Yeah, Satanism. So there's a saint for all of us, and we just want to know today, what is your understanding of the path to sainthood? And you mentioned something, Debbie, that I used to think as a young, much like a boy, when I was a boy, I used to think the same thing you just said, like God gives special graces to these certain people, and so they just kind of skate into heaven and become canonized. But as I've learned the truth, they had very, very difficult struggles right up till the end of till their last breath, really.
That is so true. Alatea, I believe, did a really good article on saints, I believe a couple of years ago, and they talked about that, how most people were just really always had it in their minds that, oh, these are people set apart. You know, they started here, they were created for us, you know, as saints already. No, they were like us. You know, there's saints among us right now, you know, that are working their way towards that. It's really incredible. So think about that, folks, you know, kind of change the mindset a little bit on that and not look at them so far apart that it's something that you cannot, you know, reach or imitate. I think it's very important. By the way, I just have to say, and I'm not complaining because everybody, I always get all these emails that go, oh yeah, you live in Arizona, you have 350 days of sunshine a year, quick complaining. Okay, we do. And the sun is shining, but our temperature has dropped like 25 degrees. And so with that means we're all kind of sniffling and feeling sick because that's a real fast drop. So you should all feel sorry for us that we went from 110 degrees down to 85 degrees.
Well, I'll tell you, that's, and you're even on the show today, Debbie. I mean, that is, what a trooper you are.
I know.
Hey, we need these phone lines filled up. 833-288-3986. Is there a particular saint that you choose to imitate or emulate? And why is that? Do you relate to that saint's particular struggle? Do you relate to their spirituality? Do you relate to their prayer life? 833-288-3986. And Debbie, I will just say this right now. Becoming a saint, while not easy, is actually quite simple, and it boils down to doing the will of God. And so as you're listening right now, do you struggle to do the will of God at times? Call in and let's talk about that. Do you have difficulty even knowing what God's will for your life is? These are important things because these are the bricks that we lay in the foundation of our lives on our way to heaven. 833-288-3986. Best time to call is right now at the start of the show.
Yes, it is. 833-288-3986. That was my phone going off. That was actually Annunciation Radio. We're right in the middle of the pledge drive there in Toledo, Ohio, and they just called me. They must not realize. Guys, if you're listening, that we're doing take two with Jerry and Debbie.
I'm busy right now.
I'll be back in about 50 minutes to host the pledge drive. But speaking of that, this is pledge drive season. I know there's a few more pledge drives happening right now. Folks are asking for the necessary funds to support your local Catholic radio station. Please, 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 please. I got the chance to interview Bishop Thomas from Toledo, the Diocese of Toledo, and a lot of priests in the Diocese of Toledo. And every one of them were talking about how Catholic radio is our community, right? So many of us feel so disconnected. Catholic radio keeps us together. So when your local listening area comes to you, please consider it, you know, a really great privilege to be able to participate in the pledge drive, because it's building community. Don't look at it as like, oh, this is like an obligation I have to do. No, it's an opportunity to really build community. Wouldn't you say, Jerry?
Yeah, I always like to say, instead of Debbie doing the one asking, or me doing the one asking, or the station doing the one asking, just pretend it's Jesus. Jesus is right in front of you. And if he put his hand out and said, would you give me something to work with, to change lives and save souls, we would jump at the opportunity. Well, that is what we're doing when we support EWTN and Catholic Radio. So call in now. We're talking about if you have a favorite saint, why that is, how you emulate them at 833-288-3986.
We're so glad you're with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. If it's lunchtime in your area, you are automatically enrolled in the Lunch Bunch. That's what we called it, because everybody seems to be having lunch with us. But maybe you're still in the breakfast area. I mean, some places are like, what, 9 a.m? So if you're having breakfast, you know, cheers.
The Brunch Bunch.
The Brunch Bunch.
There's a brunch for everybody.
I love it. So thanks for joining us. We just love being with the Take Two family. We appreciate it. Please call in if you have something to say about, you know, trying to become a saint and, you know, your feelings about it. Let's talk about it. 833-288-3986. Just real quickly, Jerry, you know how I love the media missionaries. As a matter of fact, Gigi, our facilitator for the Inspired by Faith book club, has been a media missionary for like, I don't know, 20 years. It's amazing. The media missionaries are incredible. And let me just share something. EWTN media missionaries prayerfully take EWTN to parishes and the community through the print and electronic media we provide. So the materials are there from EWTN. You take it out, raise awareness. So all you have to do, if you want to spread the word how Catholic radio and television is going strong, just visit EWTNmissionaries.com today and join us in sharing the eternal word with the world. Love it. Love the media missionaries.
Yeah, become one. You can help EWTN spread the word about all the fine things that we're doing. And we have a couple of open phone lines here as we talk about the struggle, really the struggle to become a saint. Do you find it to be overwhelming at times? Do you sometimes think, wow, you know what, there's no way I'm ever going to make it to sainthood? Well, That's why we have the saints to imitate and to pray for us and intercede for us. And that's why, you know, for some of us, there's purgatory. But we will all, God willing, be saints one day, as long as we, you know, be truthful to the call and the will of God and do make it to heaven ultimately. So 833-288-3986 is our phone number. Please, we have a couple of lines open for you, and you will get on the program very quickly.
Do we have any social media coming in yet?
I will check.
Not yet. What's the matter with you guys? What are you all doing? Is there something on TV or something? Walk away from the TV set and pick up the phone and call us, 833-288-3986. I can't help it. I'm in pledge drive mode. It's just a good thing I didn't give the pledge drive number. 833-288-3986. Call us. Let's talk about the saints. All Saints Day is coming up. We have to talk about the saints. Okay, very important. What do you think?
Well, I think we'll go to John first, who is in Pittsburgh listening on JMJ Radio. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you, John. Good to have you with us.
Hi, John.
Well, thank you, and good morning. Good afternoon to all of you there. I'm hopefully a devout Catholic. This has always troubled me. You know, we talk about the sainthood and those who have chosen, apparently, in my opinion, from their very early years, whether it be Maria Goretti or others. You know, and I look at the rest of us, of which St. Augustine says, you know, every saint had a past, every sinner has a future. I wonder, how do we kind of justify all of this? Did God predestine a 7, 8, 12-year-old to be a saint? Or do we are we a part of that struggling air? We might be or we might not be.
Okay, I can go first if you want to
Go. Yeah,
okay.
I have some thoughts, but go
ahead. I'll take a stab at it, John. This is how, just from religious education, and because actually a lot of people ask this question in adult formation and even in RCIA and even even elementary school and junior high and high school, and young adults ask it as well. If you look at the lives of the saints, you know, so many of them were very open to a relationship with God, and they built that relationship very early. And they kept that relationship and they got stronger and stronger in their faith. The way we know that is look at Padre Pio, perfect example. He was talking to his guardian angel and Jesus and Mary. He thought everybody else did as well. He was a little shocked to find out that not everybody did that. Okay, so was he special as a little boy? Was he handpicked to be this great saint? I really think that it was his disposition, it was his desire, and he grew the relationship. No different than if you had a friend from kindergarten, right? You developed that relationship early on, and it stayed with you, and you carried it on into your adulthood. I mean, there's people that have had friends for, you know, 50, 60, 70 years. I do. I've my best friend since we were, you know, three and 6 months old. We were in the strollers. Our parents introduced us to each other. So you see what I'm saying? I really think it is a desire for an increased relationship and awareness of what exactly it means to be united with God. That's my
something.
Go right ahead.
Yes. And that example is fine. At the age of reason, which we traditionally said was 7 years of age, was I capable of saying, my God, where are you? Lord, why haven't you given me these extraordinary graces? You know, that argument to me, at the age of 77, I have a difficulty accepting that. I think that God has, in my opinion, predestined certain of these individuals that he chose, and the rest of us have to struggle with it.
Right.
You know, any of these saints that we venerate, I venerated them all of my life, and I look, hey, this is blessed so-and-so, saint so-and-so. Where was I at that age? I was out running through the woods with my buddies and doing what a 8, 10, 13-year-old would ever do.
Well,
I have great difficulty with this, I certainly adhere totally to the Feast of All Saints, but to this concept that we're all equal, I have great difficulty with that.
Well, and John, the thing is, we are not all equal in any kind of real ultimate sense. I mean, I think the fact that you're bringing this up is a very healthy reality for you, because you're examining your life, your spirituality at the age that you are right now, and you're asking these questions, which I think is very, very healthy. The thing we need to keep in mind, though, is that, you know, the scripture says the Holy Spirit blows where he wills, and that means God, you know, God, we have that parable of the people of laborers who come in to do work for the master, and even those who come in at the 11th hour get a full day's pay. So these are scripture passages that tell us that God's ways are high above our ways, as the Bible always says. I just think it's important to realize God wills that all be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's 1 Timothy 2:4. And we talk about hope. Paul talks about hope in Romans 8:24. He says, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently." And I think maybe that it could be a key right there, John. We all just have to wait for it patiently, receive the graces that God does give us, act upon those graces, ask God to perfect our imperfections, and ultimately, God willing, we're all going to have that ST in front of our name when we get to heaven, hopefully.
Right. John, do you want to comment on Jerry's? And then I have one more thing I just wanted to share.
Pardon me?
Did you want to comment on what Jerry said? And then I just have one more thing.
I do. I think those are indeed inspired words. But for the average person, they say, running a race, they've already been given a couple of meters before me, and I have to run it a little bit harder. I don't know. Maybe that's how I feel at this point in my life.
Sure.
And the beautiful words, the Spirit blows where it will. That's part of faith. It's a very difficult part of faith. And even at this point in my life, when I've been a dedicated Catholic, I look at this and I say, well, I guess that's how it is.
Well, and but John... Yeah, but John, I just want to say something. I think you're an absolute sweet soul about this, but I just want to say something. It almost seems like you've resigned yourself to the fact that, you know, you can't quite, you know, measure up to that, or it wasn't in the cards for you. I don't necessarily agree with that. And let me share with you why. I don't think it matters if you're 7 years old, age of reason, or 70 years old. First of all, God stands outside of time. Okay, that's the first thing. Number two is when you talk about they were predestined. Okay, that also, there's an element there that says that, you know, what about, you know, God's respect of free will? Okay, and what God allows all of us to choose. And then you look at a lot of saints, John, they weren't on the road to sainthood. You look at Blessed Bartolo Longo, okay? It's a perfect example. Now he's blessed, so he's on the road to full canonization, okay? But Blessed Bartolo Longo was a satanic priest. I mean, so you can't tell me that God predestined him, I mean, and said, okay, you're going to go and do this route, and you're going to become a satanic priest, and then you're going to go and become a canonized Catholic saint. So I really think, John, I think sometimes this is exactly what that article in Alatea was talking about. And this is exactly what I was saying. We in our minds think there's no way we're going to reach that. These people are on a whole different path than we're on. We're too late. We're never going to round that corner. We're never going to erase all the sins that we've committed. And I don't think that's the case. I think the moment we open up our minds, our hearts, and our souls, and we developed a strong relationship with God, and we do His will, I believe in that instant, it all changes for us. The path changes. So I don't know if you, I'm not trying to disagree with you, but I almost feel like you just said, well, it's never going to happen. You know, I'm on a different path. I don't feel the same way, John. You know, what do you
one
think?
Final thing. I don't want to take all your time. I served as an altar boy in the old church, the traditional church, until I was in 12th grade. St. John Birchman's was the patron of altar boys. And, of course, I typical teenager at that point, whether it be 11 or 12, and I thought, how did John Birchman's ever become a saint? He's not going through what I'm going through. Why is he a saint and I have such a struggle? And basically, that's kind of the same mentality that permeated me for the past 77 years. Hey, these guys have been given extra special graces. Not me. Not I.
I think the misunderstanding that you have lies in what you just said. And you said, how come they had such an easy time of it and I don't? And read the life of any saint. Suffering is the only way through the door to heaven. Jesus says, unless you take up your cross every day and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. I think of St. Therese, for example, Debbie. She died at the age of 23. I believe she's a doctor of the church, isn't she? You know, brilliant yes. Mind spiritually and theologically and so forth. And look at the suffering that she went through. Not just physical suffering, but emotional suffering, detaching from her family. She even had a sister in the convent. And I hear she had to hold herself, wrap her arms around her bedpost at night so she wouldn't go down and talk with her sister because she knew she had to be detached and for God alone. Mm-hmm. So suffering is the mark that marks the life of every Saint John. And you can offer up everything you've ever been through. Even right now, Debbie said God is outside of time and space. Offer up your entire life to God right now and say, God, from this day forward, I want to be holy. I want to be a saint. Please help me. Debbie, what prayer could be more pleasing to God?
I totally agree. And you brought up, John, you know, St. Maria Goretti. Look at the person that killed St. Maria Goretti. Look how his life completely changed, okay, after he really, repented and was truly sorry for what he did. Okay, people would... I mean, St. Maria Goretti, you killed St. Maria Goretti. People would be saying, well, you're never going to make it to heaven. I mean, so it's just not true with our God. I just don't want you to sell yourself short on this. And I don't want you to hold up, you know, the saints and say, well, they didn't go through what I'm going through, or I'm not getting the graces. Look at St. Augustine. He lived a messed up life. It was totally hedonistic. So I just want you to take comfort in knowing that with God, all things are possible, and it's open for all of us who desire a relationship with Him, to be in union with Him, and to do the will of God. So that's my story. I'm going to stick to it, John. But we do appreciate your call. So thank you.
Both of you, you have no idea what you're doing to people out here to help us. I continue to refer to Mother Teresa, Sister Teresa, the Desolation Consolation, and certainly mm-hmm. our dear, dear Mother Angelica.
Yes.
You guys are doing more good than you will ever realize.
Out in the Netherlands
or where they might be, you might think no one's hearing you. I'm 100 miles east of Pittsburgh. I had to use Pittsburgh as my determining point. I'm out here very much in the country. But your signals here, you're touching souls, and mine is one. Please keep me in your prayers.
You can be assured
absolutely.
Of that, John.
Yes.
And you're much closer to God than you might realize, and mm-hmm. therefore we would ask you to keep us in your prayers as well. Thank you, John, calling from outside of Pittsburgh. We appreciate that. Real quickly, Deb, we got an email before we take our pause here. Maria said, which saint should I pray to for guidance and blessings on a car accident lawsuit against me and my family? And I was doing a little bit of searching online. Saint Francesca Romana is the patron saint of motorists. You can look her up, Francesca Romana. And also, believe it or not, Elijah, because he was taken up to heaven in a flaming chariot, is sometimes invoked as the patron saint of drivers. So the church has a patron saint for everything. It's beautiful. And we'll be praying for you, Maria, in that lawsuit. Absolutely.
This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We want to hear from you. We're talking about the struggles of the saints today. So please call in. This is your show. We'll be right back.
Really great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you and the show team, Michael, Jeff, and Rich's call screening today for Ryan. And thank you, affiliates, for carrying the program. We so appreciate that. And with All Saints Day coming up on Sunday and our unscripted show, it's always the last Friday of the month, so we're doing a show on saints today. what a beautiful, beautiful blessing that we have as Catholic Christians, and I'm sure Christians of other faith traditions also may venerate the saints as well. But we have every day there's a patron saint or many of them, but on All Saints Day every year, Debbie, we have the great blessing of knowing that every single saint in heaven is praying for us. We can pray to them, and it's just like this beautiful celebration of God's grace and mercy in the lives of those who have run the race and won the victory and are with God in heaven, and we hope to be there with them someday.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I wasn't listening. I was reading about Alessandro Serinelli, the one who killed Maria Goretti. You should read what he wrote when he was nearly 80 years old. He wrote about getting on the right path and staying faithful to God. It's brilliant. You need to read it, folks, how he made his huge, conversion and repentance and everything he went through. Interesting. Okay, I'm sorry, Jerry. Was I supposed to answer what you were saying, or were you just sharing with our listeners? Please forgive
me. I was
just
sharing the great joy that we have of having an All Saints Day every year and an All Souls Day as well. So
it's my favorite. It's one of my favorite feast days. Did you know that?
It should be.
I love November 1st. Love it. Okay, and it's not because it's my birthday month. Okay, everybody thinks that. They go, you just love it because it's your birthday month. No, well, sort of. Okay, let's go to, now help me out. Is it Mary Therese or Mary Therese in Champaign, Illinois? Holy Family Radio. Did I get any part of that right, Mary Therese?
Hey, listen, it's whether your French would say Therese. Okay, so not to worry. I go by Mary Therese. I just wanted to share a little bit that John, we're the same age, ironically. I hope he's still listening. But I have a totally different attitude than he does. I'm not saying it's better or worse, but it works for me. Every day I ask the Holy Spirit to help me to be the saint he wants me to be and to accomplish the work he wants me to accomplish. Because one of the weapons Satan uses against us is when we compare ourselves to other people. So I haven't levitated lately or ever, okay? Does that make me less a saint? No. I'm going to be that snowflake that is Mary Therese, that's the one that God wants me to be. I'm kind of looking forward to see just exactly what kind of saint he does want me to be. And obviously, too, as he is the Holy Spirit and the Trinity, I'm always asking the Trinity, please help me to be that saint. Help me to do your will. Help me to know your will, to accept it, to do it, all of that, and then let him do it. He can sanctify a person in very short order. He doesn't need 80 years.
Right.
And I look at our latest one, little Carlo, is that the one, Acutis, over there? Only 15 years old. He said, I never wasted a moment in anything that would displease our Lord.
Yep.
So we need to shape up and just get moving and just let him do his job. And that is to sanctify us and purify us.
You preach it, sister.
Yeah, beautiful.
You got it. And
Mary
I want
Therese.
You all to do that. So just ask him what saint you want me to be and help me to do the work you want me to do. And he does the rest.
That is so very beautiful what you said, and you plugged into the key point in all of this, and that is doing the will of God. You said you pray to the Holy Spirit, let me be the person you want me to be, and that consists of doing whatever God's will is for you, Mary Therese. It might be different for Debbie or for me. Matthew 7, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And we have that beautiful encounter where Jesus' mother and some others are standing outside and calling for him, and they want to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. That's why I mentioned earlier in the show, Debbie, holiness is actually, it's not easy, but it's really quite simple when you think about it.
Absolutely. And that's why, Mary Therese, I'm so glad it's definitely part of God's plan that you called in today. I really believe that. Because what John was sharing is what we've all sometimes have felt. And I think that's why people end up just almost giving up I'm not saying, John or any of us have done that, but I mean giving up in a sense or compromising and saying, well, I'm just never going to make it. Or if I just squeeze week into purgatory, I'll be lucky. Okay, that's just not true with our God. And it is so true that our God is simple. Okay, and that he's very direct. Do it now. Do it right now. Get in a state of grace right now and stay there as long as you possibly can. And so it builds and you get strength for the journey. You keep going. And then with the sacraments that we have in our beautiful faith, that is added, those added infusion of graces and blessings help us along the journey. Mary Therese, you are so awesome. I probably was going to say Mary Therese because you're from Champaign, Illinois. And I just found out recently that Champaign comes from France. I didn't realize that. Did you know that, Jerry?
It's flat plain. It's not the drink.
No,
I have one last thought, which I want to share with your listeners, and that is that prayer of the fire chaplain who was the first to die in the Twin Towers.
Yes.
Father Michael. And it's,
judge,
you know, Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Give me the words you want me to say and keep me out of your way.
I love that last part, and that can be the most difficult.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful words, Mary Therese. Mary Therese.
Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you very much.
I know. I knew it wasn't the same as the drink champagne, but I was just thinking, you know, I'm so visual. I go right there, too.
Well, we all should know one of the greatest sources of holiness for us is a worthy reception of Holy Communion.
Yep.
And right before I receive, every time I say, Dear Lord Jesus Christ, my beloved brother, who art also my God, please make my heart a flame of pure love for thee. And I kind of borrowed that from a nun, a sister Josefa Menendez, who I'm not sure if she's beatified or not. But she used to say, Dear Lord Jesus, my beloved lover, who art also my God, please make my heart a flame of pure love for thee. So, yeah,
beautiful.
God will answer these sometimes simple but very, very profound prayers.
And the other thing, too, is, I mean, you don't have to be like me and Jerry. You just don't. But if you want to be, it's okay. You got to keep a sense of humor, too, about it, you know, in a sense that, you know, you don't want to get so bogged down. I mean, the last thing we want to do is go out there, I believe anyway, and be these, what I call grumpy looking Catholics. Okay. We want to go out there with a sense of joy so that it radiates. Because remember, it's not just about us getting to heaven, but it's also about bringing as many souls as possible. So that plays a part, right?
Yeah. I remember, I think a quote attributed to St. Teresa of Avila, Lord, deliver us from sour faced saints.
Mm-hmm.
And Mother Teresa, what did she say? She said, a sad nun is a bad nun, you know, no matter what she and her sisters were going through or ever have gone through. She insisted on joy being front and center in their lives. And look at what happened with her and so many of her sisters, the amazing work that they're doing.
That's true.
Okay. We're going to go to Taos, New Mexico, and talk with Amber next, watching the feed on YouTube. Hi, Amber. Good to have you with us. Welcome.
Hi, Amber.
Hi. Let's see. I don't know. I kind of called like way out of the blue without thinking it through, but I was just listening to that first call, and I feel like I've been there, and it really hit home for me. I used to, when I first started, I guess, trying to, like, really read the Bible and take living for God more seriously, I was around all these other people that were just, like, so on fire for God, and I was trying, like, I wanted that, but it wasn't so easy for me. And back then, I was really scrupulous. I didn't know that was a thing at the time, and now I know. And so I was so scared. I felt like that verse in the Bible, talking about predestination. I was like, well, I just must not be one of the chosen ones, you know. I'm not getting anywhere. And so I thought, I'm doing this out of fear, so I'm just going to back off. And a few years through, I got myself in so much trouble. And now, you know, being scrupulous, it's hard. And Debbie knows me. She's actually been a major help to me. But it's better now. It really is a journey. And, you know, don't back off.
Don't back
and
off.
So, like, yeah, don't back off, because that's what I did. I thought, I'm doing this out of fear. I'm just going to back off because, you know, everyone else is doing it because they love God and they know God, and I just can't get there. Right. And so, you know, I don't know. I guess I just wanted to encourage someone, because it is a journey and it's really hard and it's scary. And you feel like, well, they're so close to God and they know God, and why don't I? But lately I've just been, it's up and down for me, but lately I've just been, I feel like I'm really getting to a new place of trust. Mm-hmm. And one book that I really, really like is, it's called I Believe in Love, and it's a personal retreat based on the teachings of St. Therese, and it's so good. It really helps you, like, with trusting. Yeah, I just...
No, you're
really took me back.
You're beautiful, Amber. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for calling. We definitely appreciate that. And it's really easy to hear in your voice your love for God and your desire to do what His will is and really to draw near to Him. Like you said, there have been times you have pulled back, and I have had that in my life as well. I've had I've followed God for most of my adult life, and there have been those moments when the heat got really hot and the cross got really heavy. And some friends of mine a couple of years ago reminded me that some decades ago we were all in prayer, and I just blurted out. I said, "I don't care what God wants," and I thought I said that, you know, but that's pulling back from God, like you're talking about. And one of the challenges that we have, I think, Amber, is when we're first drawing near to God and we're beginning that journey to holiness and sainthood, we feel like we have to do everything all at once, perfect everything. I've got to read the Bible all the way through. I've got to know the catechism by heart. I've got to pray an hour or two a day. I've got to go to Mass every day. Mm-hmm. God just wants us to take the next step, Debbie, do the next right thing, and He will show us what the next right thing is after that.
It's so true, because sometimes when we decide to give everything to God, right? It's such a jolt to our normal routine. It can really mess with us sometimes, and I think it's a journey. We need to pace ourselves. And Amber, you're so sweet. Thank you so much for those beautiful words. You know I love you to pieces, and you are just an incredible soul. And it's, I'm glad you called in today, because you mentioned scrupulosity, and so many of us deal with it, and the saints dealt with it. Okay, and you know, if you're struggling with that, this idea of what is a sin, and you know, if you're sinning when you do different things, and it's this fear of sinning, go to Scrupulous Anonymous. It's a great organization to help with that. And I think to some degree, all of us need to manage falling into a deep sense of scrupulosity, because God doesn't want that for us. That's an added burden that really can stop our forward movement, because we're constantly in this place of letting the thoughts kind of govern where we're at. And that's, you know, not always healthy for us. So we move along and we do the next right thing, and we draw on, you know, people that can help us or spiritual resources, and we move along. But you start to feel that burden lighten a little bit. And then you see that beautiful, you know, your spirit kind of opens up, and you see everything just start to blossom. And that's what God wants for us. So Amber, I'm so glad you called in, because I think, you know, especially with John calling first, you know, we don't want people to say, well, this is, you know, you're talking about saints. That's in a whole nother league. I'm not even going to go there. We want people to enter into that possibility, but at a healthy pace, whatever is right for us. So I just thank you for calling in. You're such a sweetheart. Anything else you wanted to share with us?
No, you know, coming from that place, though, like lately, I could just feel myself changing, and I could feel it, like the weights coming off, and I could feel like my own attitudes and my own, the things I always go back to, and like temptations, I could feel it changing. And so, yeah, just that's just my thing. Just don't give up. It's easy to feel like so discouraged and whatever it is. And maybe, you know, some people don't, it's hard to understand because you don't have other examples in your life. Cause I'm always like, well, what is the will of God? Like, do I need to donate all my money and be in poverty here?
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's so important if you don't have like good examples or help to try and find it, you know, because it's easy to overcomplicate it.
Mm-hmm. It is. And of course, as Debbie always loves to say, Amber, you've heard this from her, I'm sure, you've got your guardian angel. Pray to your guardian angel to help guide you to what the will of God is for you, not just the big picture will of God for your life, but, you know, vocationally, what God wants you to do today. You talked about, you know, should I donate all of my money, things like that. Well, those are decisions that have to be made based on your state in life. You know, if you're raising a family, then God doesn't want someone to spend 12 hours a day in prayer and give away all their money. But, I think Mary Therese hit it right on the head. She says, you know, she wants to be that snowflake that God has made her to be. And you are doing just that, Amber. You're making great strides. We can tell that. And I know Debbie is nodding her head right now. So we are so grateful that you called.
Oh, yeah. We just love you. Thank you, Amber. Thank you so much for gracing this conversation. We appreciate it. And Amber was on YouTube, so we're waving to you as well. Speaking about Mary Therese, Mary Therese, if you're still listening, we're getting a lot of messages coming in saying they really appreciated your call and your take on this. And John, so many of our listeners are saying they can totally relate to where, you know, what you were sharing. And we're hoping that this conversation makes folks think about it again. That's what we do. Take another look at life, right?
That's right. We've got other calls we're going to get to, but one of the tools, the weapons, I think St. Padre Pio called it a weapon, that we can use in the spiritual battle is Our Lady's Holy Rosary, and EWTN brings that to you twice each day and has for over 25 years. We still have the one recorded with Mother Angelica. That is at 5:30 a.m. Eastern Time, and then every evening at 9:30 Eastern with Father Benedict Groeschel, only on most of these same EWTN radio stations.
Okay, back to the phones. Katie in Ohio on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I was calling about which saint inspires me, and the saint that I really look up to and that I'm inspired by every day is Saint Zelie Martin, mm-hmm. As she was the mother of nine, and five of those children grew up to be nuns, and one of them was our lovely Saint Therese of Lisieux. The story that really inspired me is when the little flower was on the stairs, and the story goes that every step that she took, she called to her mom, and she said, "Mama," and Saint Zelie would say, "Yes, dear," every step. And that is, as a mom of four with a baby saint in heaven, that is very inspiring to me, to have that patience for my children every day, like every step of the way. And sometimes it is hard, but I know that, you know, like sainthood is hard, and that it's worth like loving the children, and maybe one day they will love God as much as Saint Therese loves God. And that's really inspiring to me.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And see, that's what I think it's so important, and the church knew it so beautifully for us to have these role models for us that we can emulate, that we can, you know, we can look to as kind of big sisters, big brothers, right? That are helping us along the way. And we remember what they have said. We remember what they have done we read about it. And, you know, somehow it can relate to our life, and it's relevant today. And that's what you found in St. Zelie, Katie. I think it's awesome. And I wish more people would, you know, when we were kids, when I was growing up a long time ago in the Catholic Church, one of the very first books they used to give you when you were like in third grade was the Book of Saints. And I loved that book. I remember it. It's vividly. Jerry knows which book it is. It's that tan color book, and it had that glossy feel to it. See, I'm so visual. I still remember that book. If anybody's got it, you should pull it out and take a look at it. I think mine's packed away somewhere. And I remember going, and the pages were like one page for each saint. And it had a picture of the saint, and it had a little bio of the saint. And I remember reading through it, and I'm thinking, this is so cool. You know, I mean, and it's so relevant. And when you look at what some of the things they dealt with and what they have felt and how they viewed their lives and how they viewed God. And so I just wish more people would do that. I wish instead of, you know, we read some of these fairy tales to our kids, read the lives of the saints. I mean, I think it would serve them better. Anyway, thank you, Katie. I'm on a roll here. I want to grab that book from my storage.
Well, and Katie, just a quick thought from me. You've inspired me to say this, and that is what you do on a daily basis is you are striving for holiness and sanctity by loving your children, like you said, and sacrificing for them and so forth. I think a mistake that a lot of moms and dads and all of us might make is we think, well, I have all these other things to do, but I really want to draw close to God, so I need to be over here praying, you know. But actually, you can change a diaper with great love, and there is sanctifying grace that comes in and through everything that you do, Katie. You understand that, so I'm not saying this to you, but I thought I'd mention that, Debbie. For those who maybe wonder, you know, should I be praying more? I find myself doing all these parental duties and household chores and things like that.
Well, and you can pray while you're doing those things as well, which always helps and adds. Katie, thank you so much. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. We're going to try to get to Matthew in San Francisco, California, listening on Sirius XM 130. Matthew, we only have about 3 minutes. So if you can condense it, that would help.
Yeah, just real quick. Yeah, I love your call. Sometimes it's hard, you know, as I mentioned to your screener, I work as an emergency room nurse and in a very large urban city, and, you know, you're trying to help people, and a lot of times, many days, you know, 12-hour shifts, you're dealing with a lot of hatred, people who want to, you know, they don't want nothing to do with you. You know, they're throwing urine at you. They don't want your help. There's nothing but hatred day in and day out. It wears you down. It wears you down spiritually. It wears you down emotionally. My spiritual life in my family home is great. It's easy to be a good Christian Catholic there. It's easy to be a good Christian Catholic when I go to church every Sunday or daily. It's easy when I surround myself. But when the reality is when my daily life at work, 12-hour shifts, day in and day out, it wears you down. It's hard.
Okay, but Matthew, hold on a second. I got to tell you this because we're going to run out of time. See if you can switch that around. I know it must be incredibly hard and it wears you down. I hear you, and I don't know how you deal with it, okay? I mean, to have those things being thrown at you, the hatred over and over again, that is really tough. But Matthew, two quick things, okay? Luke 23:34, that should be your mantra, okay? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay, and then offer it up for all the sins in your whole immediate family and for the world. Matthew, you'll watch. I could feel the Holy Spirit on this, Matthew. Please trust us on this one. If you do that, Matthew, if you switch it around, you're going to see miracles. I feel it. So Luke 23:34, even if you can put it like on ink on you on somewhere that you remember it, forgive them for they know not what they do, and then offer it up for all the sins around you and for the world. And I bet you're going to see some things happening, and that'll change the way the hatred comes at you, and it'll change what happens when it's going back out into the world. What do you think, Jerry?
I think exactly the same thing that you were saying. Matthew, there is grace in every situation, and I agree with Debbie. I don't know how you do it. You're obviously operating in a lot of grace just to be able to endure that at your job. But first of all, we thank you for being such a compassionate soul that you have taken on this vocation of being a nurse in an ER especially. But what do you think about that, Matthew? I think you can, if you flip the thinking around, you could be saving the souls of these people who are treating you that way. What do you think?
I agree with you. It's you know, I try to I want to pray with them, you know, but even that sometimes is hard because, you know, it can be against, you know, company policy. It's very restrictive. You know, I can get in trouble for that. It's, you know, my hands are tied sometimes. It's you know, I want to reach out and be a better Christian Catholic, but I have to. It's hard. It's you know, I don't know how to do it without getting in trouble sometimes. And I can say internal prayers for them, and I hope that's enough.
It is.
A lot of these people, need God's grace, and
but,
it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Right, but Matthew, it is. Okay, and I hope I said it correct because I was going so fast. Luke 23:34. So that prayer, pray for them, Matthew. Ask your guardian angel to communicate with their guardian angel. Make the connection there. Do the ministry work through the guardian angels. Matthew, you will see things happen. Okay, keep us posted. I have a really good feeling about this. This is huge, Jerry. Tomorrow's Unscripted.
Looking forward to that. You bring the topics to the table, whatever you would like to talk about, a past show, a future topic, anything going on in the world, in your life, in the church, in your family. Debbie and I come empty-handed on Unscripted, and we know that you're going to take it and run with it again tomorrow, as you always do in such a beautiful way. Thanks to all the callers, the show team, affiliates. Until tomorrow, we want to wish you a beautiful and blessed day. See you real soon.